Welcome to House Seats Presents. Woohoo! Your live look at entertainment. I'm your host, Bryce Krausman. We are here with Brooke Brown today. She is fantastic. And we've already gotten a chat in here from Danny. She's saying, Danny, who we were just talking about at the top of the show, who has a show, Niche to Media or Niche to Profit here.
Yes.
She says, is this where I say break a leg? So that's it. That's right now. We are with a fantastic dancer extraordinaire here. First of all, she really hones in on her craft. This is something I'm really fascinated by this show. The reason we talk to a lot of performers is because we want to know why you came here, how you came about coming here, why you stayed, and just how you know, why you called Vegas home. This is one of the reasons that you're on here today, my dear.
Thank you.
Oh, you're
so
welcome.
Vegas has become a home to me, and it's been such a blessing. I was a baby when I moved here.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just left dance school.
Okay, wow.
And
you came here right out of dance school?
Yes.
And you said Vegas.
And I said Vegas.
Wow, okay.
I saw a reality show on TV when I was in dance school called Nearly Famous.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And
absolutely.
It highlighted the Jubilee dancers.
Yes.
And I said I could do that. And I'm 5'9". Mm-hmm. So your choices as a dancer are kind of Vegas, New York, LA. And I said, well, I'll probably do better in Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm happy to hear that. You hear that? She saw a reality show, which we're going to get into. Brooke herself is in a reality show right now as well. So we start the top of the show usually on a sort of weekend roundup. What did we do? What did House Seats do? What did the crazy things to Vegas happen? There's a lot that happened actually in Vegas this week.
Okay.
The opening of the new T-Mobile Arena is happening. I don't know if you've seen that over by the New York. You have, the Killers are coming in on Wednesday night and doing the opening.
Huge week
for shows. They already had some shows. Martina McBride was in there. They did a lot of stuff for ACMs this week.
Okay.
But Nicki Minaj and Ariana Grande opened it. I mean, it's good. And then you have sold out. Yeah, you can see it. Sold out Guns N' Roses, which Scott, producer here, is extremely excited about this. Mm-hmm. Guns N' Roses having not performed together originally since 1993. So thank you for that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Right. So T-Mobile Arena, 20,000 seats. Gonna be killer. Oh, hi everybody. We have audience. Hello, Hyler. Hello, Andy. He's rolling in the studio. So we're talking. I'm gonna have to tell them to catch up. So we're talking about we're talking T-Mobile Arena, if you want to know. Right. Top of the show, T-Mobile Arena, awesome. So we're gonna have yet another arena on our hands.
I know, I'm so excited.
Have you even toured that whole area? They have a park now, I'm told, that just opened recently too.
What?
Yeah. It opened today, the park. Oh, we have some more joiners. Hi, everybody. We're not going to fill you in on what we've been talking about yet.
So we're having like Central Park on the Las Vegas Strip.
We're having a pseudo Central Park. I think it's mostly filled with food vendors and all those things to capture some more money on the strip right there. Cha-ching.
Well, but we don't mind that.
We don't mind that at all.
That's
so
right.
That opened this week. And then we also had the ACMs. They came to town this week. I don't know if you went into any of that, but oh my. Clearly.
Well, I've danced a lot at NFR,
okay.
The National Finals Rodeo, so I know
how
some country
work?
Singers.
Where does that happen? And during the...
At Thomas and Mack.
Okay, no, but how does the dancing work into the bull riding and
so they,
stuff like
you
that?
Know, they do their competitions, they ride their bulls, and they lasso some cows, or I don't know. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah.
And then they'll have a country star come out, and they throw out a stage real quick, and we do a performance, and then they strike it. And then
and then
competition
you're back out again.
Continues.
Mm. See, I've been to that and we never stayed for the competition. So I didn't really actually know how it all went because I worked for Blue Man Group at the time and we did the national anthem before the show. So they were on there out their pipes playing the national anthem out in the mud because they didn't put a stage up for them.
Okay.
They had to walk out in mud and then walk back in.
We definitely like on the way to the stage, walk through the mud and the, you know, what else.
Mm-hmm.
And,
whatever else is out there.
Mm-hmm. Lots of horses and animals.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's great. Thomas Mack.
Packed
these
house.
Cowboys and, you know, ranchers. Mm-hmm. And I love it.
She says that like she knows the cowboys and ranches. I love it. and then also we went to, what is he saying? He's crazy. Scott's being a little crazy today. Our whole audience, you can't even control them out here today. And then we also took in, House Seats had a few tickets, but we also took in the Nevada, Las Vegas Philharmonic at the Smith Center. So they did a jazz age, Gershwin, Stravinsky, and you can absolutely hear over us the Rhapsody in Blue number. Oh, look, there's Eiler. Hi, Eiler. Plug for Eiler. I don't know if you've ever been to the Philharmonic here in Vegas. They do an amazing job, and they brought in this absolutely astounding guest pianist.
Okay.
Armstrong. Now I can't remember his name. Anthony Armstrong? It's Bill, well, we'll figure it out. Andrew, oh, right. Andrew Armstrong. I just started following him on Twitter because I was very excited
Andrew.
About him. Andrew played, and so if you've ever seen, you know, if you've ever heard that song, The Rhapsody in Blue.
Yes.
Yeah, the
yes.
United Airlines song, whatever you want to call it. It is quite a number to watch live.
Oh, they brought
the piano front and center with the rest of the strings and horns and whatnot, and he just killed it. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. Packed house, Smith Center, and we were talking before the show, venues that came about because of things that we have in town that need that venue. So the Philharmonic, the Nevada Ballet Theater, all played in small houses.
Yep,
Judy
I remember
Bailey, yeah.
going to see them at you know different theaters around
Artemis
town,
Ham Hall.
But yeah, exactly.
Small at UNLV. Yeah. yeah. And
I mean,
now we've built this great place.
I'm from Iowa. I grew up in Iowa.
Okay.
And the big trip was to go to Ames. It was like a big town to me.
Okay.
And see the show. And it was in a huge place that, you know, is similar to the Smith Center. So when they built that in Las Vegas, I thought, here's my night out.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we can go to many shows and, you know, all over the strip, and we have the capital of entertainment here in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
But it's like a different, it's a night out and you get dressed up and you go have date night and you see the Philharmonic.
You've been to the Smith Center then. What was the first show you saw there? What was the first experience you had with the Smith Center?
I actually performed at the Smith Center before I ever saw a show for the Golden Rainbow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. And were you in a number that we know?
I have been in a number that you know.
I'm just now, yes, that was at the Smith Center. I was like, that wasn't at the Tropicana, that was at the Smith Center. You performed as a dancer in the set list. We brought in Alanis Morissette's Forgiven.
That's correct,
yes. See, our connection runs really deep before we even knew each other.
Oh, look at that.
And then she was reminding me before she even came on, she's been in line at DW Bistro on a Sunday brunch before.
Yes.
Sorry, in line. She's been in line waiting for that table.
But I have enjoyed the mimosas
as everyone does.
We understand.
Uh-huh. We were doing that yesterday.
There you go.
So we talked at the top of the show that you came here as a dancer right out of school for Jubilee.
Yes.
So talk about that experience, because we've had a couple ladies on the show talking about their audition process in front of Dawn Arden, in front of Fluff, and how difficult and mind-blowing it is to get that and to get the call back and get the audition. Tell us about that experience.
So I was 20 years old.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And up on that stage, and they said to wear a brongi to the audition. I didn't even comprehend it at the time. Like, I was straight out of my black leotard and pink tights and my bun from ballet class.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the audition. I remember I got called down by Fluff, and Fluff was in full force at that time.
Mm-hmm.
She calls me down on her microphone, and she's got her binoculars looking at us. And she says, "Brooke, I would love to have you as a topless dancer in Jubilee. Are you comfortable with that?" And I said, "No, I'm not. I'm so sorry." You know, I didn't understand it at the time. And she said, "It's classic. There's nothing sexual about it. It's sensual, beautiful women in great costumes." And she said, "Are you comfortable with it?" And I said, "No." So I went home thinking, well, I didn't get that job.
Mm-hmm.
But that night, Fluff called me and said she'd like to offer me a covered position as a bluebell.
Nice.
And she said, "We'll see how long that lasts."
Mm-hmm. When did the top come off?
About a year later.
Well, when you did say at the top of the show, she did remind us she had choices, New York, LA, Las Vegas,
that's right,
to be a dancer. One of those three cities generally has that come up.
That's true. So, and when you're a showgirl,
yes,
it is part of the history of being a showgirl, is being a topless dancer in the beautiful costumes.
Yes.
And after a while, you start to look around and you think, actually, this is what I'm doing. This is what it is. It's about beautiful bodies.
Yeah.
And having an elegant presence. And there's nothing shameful about
it. No.
Yeah, it's celebrating beauty. It's not putting anyone down.
And you came into Jubilee at its sort of revival. They had just done a redo of the show with choreographers for Beyonce, right? They had brought in somebody to kind of revamp the show a little bit?
Yeah, so I had already been in the show for a while. I actually left for a few years
and
did some other things. Came back, was in Jubilee about 7 more years.
Okay.
And then they redid the show.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank Gatson was brought in to choreograph and changed the show. And so I was a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed for 6 months after the revamp.
Gotcha.
And then I decided to move
on.
And
it was time to move on.
Yes.
So tell us, so you stayed in Vegas during that time when you left Jubilee.
I left Jubilee to do a cruise ship to travel the world. And then I went to, I moved to France and I did the Le Lido de Paris.
Okay.
It's on the Champs-Élysées.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Ooh, oui, oui, le pipi.
Ouais, mais bien sûr.
Cha-cha-cha. Le français. And you did that. And how long were you there for?
I was there for a year.
Okay.
Yeah, I was a bluebell dancer for the Lido.
So what was it like living abroad now? I mean, you were on cruise ships. What was it like living full time in one country like that, like France?
It was scary. I grew up real quick. That small town Iowa girl was no longer.
That didn't happen when her top came off. It happened when she went to France.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So true.
Sure. Okay.
Suddenly I had to grow up and, you know, I'd never been on a train before. And suddenly they're like, take this RER to Georges V exit and you'll be at the theater. And I was like, what? But it was amazing. Every moment I had, every day off I had, I would jump on whatever cheapest flight I could find and explore a different city. People thought it was crazy. Like, you're going to, you know, Berlin by yourself? Well, of course I am. I have the time and I have the opportunity. So
what was one of your most memorable trips you took when you did that? Where was one of the most memorable places you thought, I'd never go here?
Oh, I think the most memorable was Rome. Mm. Yeah, I was just walking the streets in Rome and feeling the history. And, you know, Las Vegas is a very new city and we are amazing for what we have.
Right.
But then getting to experience a different city that that just has all these monuments and you can read stories about Rome way back in the day. And yeah, so it was amazing.
Seeing all those lifelike things you've been seeing, the real Colosseum, you know, the real fountains and all that, things like that. We build replicas of them. Now, when you'd walk around, I always wonder this question. When you walk around, do you tell people that you are from Vegas as the last place you lived? Did you tell people that or do you tell them you were originally from
Iowa? I lived in Europe?
Yeah.
Oh, I said Vegas.
Yeah, because everybody knows.
Yeah. Well, first thing they ask, are you from New York? They love New York. French people love New York.
Okay.
And I'd say no. I'd say Las Vegas. And I'd probably do like the symbol of a slot machine. I don't know. You know, like Vegas.
Yeah.
And they, Vegas. And it's
everybody
funny.
Knows it.
Yeah. And in France, people are amazed if you dance in a show there. They'd say, you know, what are you doing here? They try to speak to you. Obviously, my French wasn't great. Mm-hmm. I'd say, oh, je suis danseur au Lido. I'm a dancer at the Lido.
Yeah.
No. No, c'est magnifique. Like, it's, oh my gosh, it's amazing. So, yeah, it was definitely a great experience. And then actually, after a year, I moved back and went straight back into Jubilee.
So you were in Jubilee. And then you actually, you know, we recently had Tina Walsh on here, who was a veteran of Jubilee.
Yes.
And Kelly Wright as well.
Yep.
So you were part of the festivities at the closing last month or February, I should say now. Oh, yeah. There's Tina.
Yeah. Tina, amazing singer in town.
Oh, yeah. So you're part of the big party?
Part of the festivities.
Yeah.
And actually, I met my husband dancing in Jubilee. He danced in Jubilee for 23 years.
So tell, because Anthony, his name's Anthony, right?
Yeah,
so
Anthony.
You met him at Jubilee?
Yeah, we met in Jubilee the first time I was at Jubilee. And he actually flew out to France to court me again. And I kind of moved back because we ended up getting engaged. And then we worked together at Jubilee again. But so Anthony and I went to the last night. We had to. Mm-hmm. Between, you know, my time there and his time there, we pretty much know almost everybody who's ever worked there. And it was such a great night. We didn't even have enough time to catch up with everyone. It was packed.
Yeah.
Performers from all over.
That's what she was saying. It was like heads were turning like, hi. I got a scheduled time to see. It's like a reunion
of
sorts. And when we were talking to Tina, she realized, because we'd been looking up prior to the show, what's the longest running Broadway show, what's the longest running show ever? And she is in Phantom right now. She's touring Phantom. Mm-hmm. And so that's the longest running right now. But Jubilee was 34 years.
Yes.
And it's the longest running show, basically live show ever.
Yeah.
So she put, you know, two and two together. She'd been in two of the longest running shows, you know, ever done.
Yeah. She's picky. She picked the right ones, huh?
She did. So you end up here and you end up in Vegas to show.
Yeah.
Over at the Planet Hollywood. This is you over here.
Yep. That's me. So right when I left Jubilee, I went straight to Vegas the Show and did that for two contracts. It was a great experience. Vegas the Show it's a great show.
Yeah.
It tells the history of entertainment in Las Vegas and, you know, takes you with the Rat Pack. And I mean, the singers are amazing. The dancers are nonstop. Mm-hmm. They literally don't stop. And it was a great experience. I met a lot of great people. And, you know, I left just because I needed a break.
Okay.
I was broke down and like tired and I wanted to have a couple nights off a week. And I haven't stopped dancing at all because I'm freelancing full time now, and there's so many gigs and corporate events in town that as a performer you can survive off of that. And it's a lot of fun.
That's
actually
good, because we were talking, because as we've been talking to people over this, we've done probably about a dozen episodes, and everybody sort of said the same thing. They want to make this their home base.
Yes.
This has been a town that's been giving enough to them. We had Reva Rice here last week.
Reva.
Ooh, we had a little flicker go on in here. Reva was talking, you're putting the power out, see?
You said Reva, the light flickered. It was the power.
We were channeling you, honey.
Power of the diva.
We were channeling. I won't use the word we used last week, but we're channeling your fuckery. So, perfect. Uh-huh. So, in the show, we're having like reunion of everybody on the screen today. So, we're back to you. Now let's take it back. Let's take it back to Brooke. Before you came on, you were talking about you're helping out a local hypnotist in his show right now.
Yeah, so Mark Savard. I am an assistant in the Mark Savard Comedy Hypnosis Show. It's at the V Theater in Planet Hollywood. Amazing. I mean, this show is hilarious. He truly is a comedian, and the participants are all audience members. Mm-hmm, right. People think they're plants. They're aren't.
They're picked on right at the top of the show.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
That's probably why I haven't seen it. I'm a little afraid. I'm afraid of some hypnotists. As much as I love Anthony Cools, I'm really kind of scared to go to his show because there's Mark right there.
No,
Mark's been around a long time here in town. He's been doing his show Hypnosis over at the V Theater for a while.
Yep, he just celebrated his 9th year.
There you go.
So Mark also teaches hypnotherapy classes, and he teaches people how to help people through hypnosis.
Okay.
So there are people all over the world right now taking this class, and I got to take it because I'm his assistant.
What one thing can you teach us right now about hypnosis? Or are you doing it right now? She just did something with her eyes. I don't know what that was. I've had a lot of people in that chair. Jeff Lebo, you know, people in their eyes. I tell them all the time, I'm like, I'm just going to gaze longingly in your face.
Well, what you might not know about hypnosis is that people are hypnotized all throughout the day. Mm-hmm. You know, when you just like space off and you don't even know what's going on and you find yourself staring off into space. It's a form of hypnosis. So
we self-hypnotize throughout the day.
Yes, we do. And we don't even know it. Mm-hmm. And hypnosis is a state between sleep and the awakened state. So everybody can be hypnotized. If you say, you know, I can't be hypnotized, I don't believe in it, or, you know, I'm too smart, whatever the reason, everyone can be hypnotized.
Are you hearing this, Kleiber, out there? Uh-huh. My fiance over there, I think he's probably hypnotized several times a day.
Well,
it's that butterfly effect. You just get taken away by something and then you're just somewhere for a minute. Huh.
Now,
And he teaches classes? Can you participate in the classes as somebody like a backstage tour of something, or
not backstage tour? He teaches people who want to have their stage, their own stage shows. And then also people who have, do seminars on hypnotherapy. They help people stop smoking for whatever reasons they need. So I actually use self-hypnosis now after meeting Mark. If I have a big dance gig coming up, I'll do the memory self-hypnosis right before. So I pick up the choreography quicker. Mm-hmm. You can do it for self-confidence, for insomnia, all different reasons to use it.
I feel like a house seats outing is happening here. Mm-hmm. Both of them are nodding their heads like, yes, we're going to take a little house seats. There's one other who's not here, Nurta. We can all four of us go and have hypnosis.
So who's
together.
Volunteering?
Oh, we'll definitely put Eiler into it first. Because you've been featured all during the show.
We keep seeing your face for
a reason. I know.
Reason.
There's a reason why that's happening. You're being called to the carpet here. So he does this class at the V Theater too?
Oh, no. These are just seminars. There's...
Yeah. Sorry.
There's
just
our victim.
Popping in.
No,
there you
not
go.
A
yeah.
victim.
Yeah,
but
sorry.
Yeah, he just teaches as well as doing a stage show. So it's seminars here and there. He's going to London in a few months to teach a seminar. Yeah.
Maybe we can do one at DW in like the side room with people. be kind of fun. Well, that's good. So take us now, because this is interesting. So when we were booking you for the show, we found out you're on this reality show right now.
Yes.
On BYU TV, first of all. So tell us about, this is called Relative Race.
It is. It's called Relative Race.
I'm assuming it has something to do with Ancestry.com or something, figuring out your relatives. Tell us how this is.
It's a bit of a mix of like The Amazing Race meets genealogy.
Okay.
And we are racing across the United States And Ancestry DNA took both me and my husband's DNA samples and found relatives that we didn't know about all throughout the U.S. So each day you travel to a new city. They took our cell phones, of course, no GPS.
Right.
Here's your map. Figure it out.
Yep.
And we went to a new city, completed challenges, and then you find your relative at the end of the day. And if you get three strikes, you get a strike by being the last that arrives to your relative. You're kicked off the show. So yesterday was the sixth episode. There's still five more. So far, we are the team red. That's me and my husband.
Yes, with the red outfits.
Yes.
There you go. Gotcha.
And we're still in the show. We do have two strikes. So you'll have to watch to see how far we get.
Do they have you do these things?
Yeah, that was a silly challenge that we had to do. We had to find a yoga studio and complete. I don't remember what that was called. That is not.
Okay, gotcha.
That is not. This was some crazy yoga pose that we had to do. We started in San Francisco. There we are in the pier. And there's our host.
This is the last of the teams here?
So it's four teams.
Oh, four teams.
It's
okay,
just four. This was day one. Okay. And they took our phones away and they said, go find your cars and head to the first city.
So I imagine with a map, you're obviously asking a lot of people for directions.
Yes.
Yeah. You're having to pull over and ask people. So it's a matter of also getting to know people off the street and then asking them if they know so-and-so.
Yeah, so our biggest asset during the race were people.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't know anything about the city that you're in, what do? Roll your window down. Hey, can you help me find? Yeah.
Well, who's looked at a map? I mean, we type in anything right now to look for where we're going on MapQuest and Google Maps and whatnot. You know, reading a map is completely foreign.
And let me tell you, they're not automatically updated either.
No, they're not. And you can't ever fold them back to where they were
Huge.
When you're doing it.
What
it doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
It doesn't make. So we can't disclose where you are, but you're continually on the show right now. So you have a reoccurring, so to speak, on this role right now.
Yeah. So I can tell you last night on the episode, we were in St. Louis.
Okay.
So that's where we've gone from San Francisco to St. Louis right this moment. And we've met amazing people. I found out who my mother's biological father was through this show.
Wow.
And my husband met a first cousin that he didn't know about. So, you know, it pulls at your heartstrings as well as being this intense like race, you know, where people are going crazy and losing their minds. But at the end of the day, you get to meet somebody who shares the same blood with you.
So what do they find out when you're a dancer in Vegas? What do they say?
Oh, they love it. They love it. In fact, one couple in New Mexico took us and they taught us how to two-step. And she said, I'm trying to teach the professional dancer how to two-step. But we didn't know how to. So, you know, we definitely learned something that night.
So this is on every Sunday night?
Yep.
On BYU TV? You have to look up on your cable to find out where that's at.
Yeah, it's on Dish,
I'm sure my mom
Cox.
Watches it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, very good.
It's a fun show.
Well, cool. Well, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
We're
so
gonna do a shot of water today in honor of BYU TV,
what?
In honor of Brooke today. There we go.
Cheers.
Thanks for watching, guys. See you next time.